You said that Hibbert takes the position that 1 Timothy 5:22 refers to restoring a sinning member. That's not the position he takes. He takes the position that the laying on of hands there is to put an elder into office.
You're right. I said that wrong. If I didn't, that's the benefit of my transparencies.
One of the reasons for that is he says there's no evidence that the laying on of hands to restore a member occurs any time before
exactly.
The third sentence.
Yeah, we found that at your library.
Right, so I was just...
I'm sorry.
I'm kind of partial to Hibbert, and I didn't want to...
Right. He helped me with Hibbert, another view. And what I did when I went home, I typed on the wrong transparency. You're exactly right, Jim.
Regarding the laying on of hands, is this phrase, the laying on of hands with this particular Greek verb, is it ever used negatively any other place or to mean anything other than to pronounce a blessing or to appoint someone to an office in a positive way?
I knew that question would come up. I almost said it. The answer is no. It is only used in a positive way with laying hands settling no man to ordain a man as an elder. There's only one other time the phrase laying on of hands is used in a negative way, and that's a totally different Greek word, and I was very disappointed when I saw that, because I thought I had something there. But no, this is the only time that Greek word or phrase is used is referring to ordaining a man as an elder.
Okay, in 1 Timothy 5, just see if this would make sense. In verse 20, he says, those who sin are to be rebuked publicly. And he's talking about the elders who would sin and be found guilty at the face of two or three witnesses. So they are to be rebuked publicly, these elders who are sinned, who have sinned. And then in verse 22, he says, don't be hasty in laying on of hands and do not share in the sins of others. Could that mean don't put a man in office before he's ready, because then he would be more likely to be found guilty of sin. He would be more likely to stumble and fall. And therefore, you would be partaking of his sin and that you put him in too early.
It does make sense. I wrote that down as a possibility, but when I kept going to the context, I see nothing other than discipline elder. But yes, for it does make sense from humans, sure.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Jimmy Cutter, and let's do this. We're just going to take 5 or 6 minutes on each question, so give others an opportunity.
I'll comment on, I don't have anything on any of the others anyway, except to say that John 14 through 16, incidentally, is very important when we talk to Mormons and a lot of people, because they believe that they can receive inspiration today.
Thank you.
But on 1 Timothy 5 there, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but you know, when I heard the three positions, I kind of think the position you took is the weakest position. And the reason I do is because I can see that even that other position I don't take, what was it now?
Don't be too quick to restore.
To take them back if they, you know, repented, if they haven't, you know, repented all the way. Because we would be a partaker in their sins. But I can't see how that a person, you could lay hands on them and be a partaker of their sins by removing them out of office. It looks to me like you wouldn't be.
No, let me answer that before you go.
Okay.
I know that you go about 4 or 5, and I forget the first one if I'm not. The way you'd be able to partake of some other man's sin is by, if you don't exercise the discipline, you're participating in their sins but not removing them from office, and you are not taking the aggressive action that's mentioned here in 1 Timothy 5. You need to take them out lest they do more damage to themselves, to others, or whatever else. So he was saying, don't show partiality. Really, contextually, partiality is a very heavy part of what he's talking about. You know, don't show respect to people and partiality. You just do what you have to do, regardless of what their last name is.
Well, let me just say these two things. Number one, laying on of hands, I think there's a real problem there, because never anywhere in the Bible is it meant as for anything except ordaining them, or ordaining someone into office. And now we're going to have to take a phrase that is well known throughout Scripture and make it mean something exact opposite, when I'm not sure we can do it.
Okay, but, let me respond to that.
Okay.
Okay. That is the only time it's used in a negative way. But there are many truths of the Bible taught one time only, positive or negatively, one time, and we don't have any trouble with that. So therefore, that made me feel a little bit better about it. Now, I didn't like the idea that I couldn't find any other. I admit that, and I looked high and low. Matthew to Revelation, it's not there. I freely admit that. But contextually, there's nothing in here that talks about putting a man in as an elder. He's talking about how to discipline somebody who's already in as an elder.
Well, let me talk about the context. I'm not sure the context does prove that, because I believe that Paul has got a lot of pithy little context in this chapter and in this book. I mean, you could go to what he says about drinking the wine and earlier about widows, and even just before this statement, it seems like there's another pithy statement context before what he said about, you know, if an elder sins, you know, be careful, you know, before two or three witnesses. I think it's kind of like the book of Proverbs. You can't just say, well, you see in the context here, you've got up here it's talking about this. Well, you've got to almost take each context, and I think you have to take each paragraph. I think there are different contexts. And I think he's dealt with how to deal with elders, truant elders, earlier in verse 20. There's another context in 21. He's got another context in 22. So I think there's different contexts there. And I think that's kind of how we have to see that as well.
Well, he's got one major context, several different thoughts. That drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. It interests me. And you mentioned that because that interests me. Why did he put that in there? I'll just out of clear blue stuck it in there. And this may or may not be exactly right, and there may be some others that can help me out on that. But due to the nature of the situation of discipline and elder, Timothy was known to have stomach problems and difficulties. And Paul, realizing that, said, you use a little for medicinal reason, a little wine for the stomach's sake, and for thine oft infirmity. What you can do here is not pleasant, it's not fun, but you're going to have to take care of it anyway, so just get after and get it done.
Would you give an example of something like laying on of hands meaning something all through Scripture, and we could one time...
No, I can give you an example of things that are used one time. That's women cutting the hair. That's not mentioned anywhere else other than 1 Corinthians 11. But we don't have any problems if this is only used one time, and other times it wasn't. That's kind of what I was referring to.
Okay, let's go to two or three more. Won't ask questions, but we can't spend all the time on one question. Let's go now to Revelations 2:10.
Well, I thought I had a few other guys out there that agreed with me. I'm waiting to hear from them. It's all right.
Revelation 2:10. Yeah, I'm faithful to be. I think probably just about everybody agreed on that.
I'm thrilled.
Okay, let's skip the John 14 to the last. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. Who shall be resurrected first?
1 Thessalonians 4. I know, everybody wants to stay here, okay?
Okay, no discussion on that? Okay, then now let's go to Galatians 2:6. 2:6. Anybody have any comments? Alan did an awful good job, everybody's confused.
I did a great job, and nobody answered all the questions.
Okay, John 14:15-16.
Wait a minute, did you have one, Brother Dennis, on?
Yes, I wanted to say I agree with you on Galatians, and I agree with you on 1 Timothy 5:22 also.
Well, thank you. I love you, brother.
Okay, John 14:15-16.
That surprises me, but thank you. Let's erase it real quick.
Okay, that was all of it.
Hey, that's them all. Thank you.
Can we go back to 1 Timothy?
1 Timothy, yeah, for about 3 minutes.
I want my name back on the list then.
Is it possible, in light of what he said in verse 21, that you observe these things without preferring one another and doing nothing by partiality, that when he goes to verse 22, he's also including a plurality of things involving the elderships? That it could include what, as everyone has said, to the point that it could include laying on of hands to put one into office or take one out, that it could apply to these things and not just one in particular?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. It could be, and Robertson Word Pictures, he gave the generic overall, the catch-all thing too. He said in the word, Robertson's Word Pictures, the New Testament, Volume 4, page 589, it is not clear whether it is a case of ministers just ordained, as in 414, or of warning against the hasty ordination of untried men, or the recognition and restoration of deposed ministers, as such the context. The prohibition suits either situation or both. So, yes, in answer to your question, could it be? Yes, it could be.
Brother Cunningham, did you want
to? That was my point. I don't know that young man right there, but that was going
to be. I might follow up real quick. Just to be a little more clear, my one rebuttal or what. The fact that he goes on to say, lay hands suddenly, neither be partakers, he's warned about, we know in the context of discipline, not doing anything without two or three witnesses, just on one, and therefore you could partake of some other men's sins if you did it hastily or without following. So the idea that in verse 22, laying on of hands suddenly on no man, putting them in, or partaking of other men's sins, whether you put them in that way, but that the two ideas might have been brought forth even in verse 22, one laying on of hands, two partaking in sins.
Yeah, you know, it could be, I'm not going to say here any possibility it could not have been, but I really genuinely believe the original intent of the writer, that's what I try to stay focused in, whatever version, I believe the original intent of the writer, he was saying, you've got a man as an elder, he's committing sins, now what do you do about it, Timothy? And he's sending him out. Chapter 3, he told them all the qualifications. Now here in chapter 5, he said, you've got a man, here's the problem, how to deal with it. Thank you very much, Craig.
Okay, Brother Cunningham, did you have anything else
to say? No, he covered it.
Yeah, okay, then let Alan wants to ask something real quick.
Did you say real quick and Alan in the same sentence?
I think that we're working a little bit too hard on this context right here. In 1 Timothy 5, it seems pretty obvious to me that the context is the same discussion all the way through. Verse 24 and 25 is talking about this same difficulty of trying to sort out whether these are actually sins or not, these charges. And verse 19 says, don't receive an accusation except if there's two or three witnesses. If you determine he sins, rebuke him before all. Verse 21 says, do this without partiality. And it's not a different context at all. He's simply saying, these are the men that are going to be supporting you. They're the men that are going to be paying you. They're the leaders of the church. Now, I charge you before God and Jesus Christ, you do this without partiality in this matter. And then, keep thyself pure and be not a partaker of other men's sins. The last part of verse 22 goes more with the context of disciplining these men than it does taking them, putting them in office. Now, I don't think you need another passage where laying hands on people is used this way. It's used this way here. But Jimmy asked for a passage where a word is used in a certain way throughout most of the scripture, but one time is used in a different way. I don't know if it's one time or not, but very few times, and this may be the only time, in Matthew 13:33, the parable of the leaven is used in a positive sense, but almost always leaven is used as a negative sense of sin. And so, but the word is talking about its growing influence right here. Laying hands on these men is not a matter of putting them into office. That's not what the word means. What it's talking about is identifying someone to a certain work. And this is identifying this man to take him out of this work, identifying with the congregation.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. Again, let me apologize for going too long. I try to keep my sermon the length you want me to, but I didn't do it today very well. Thank you.